So I was reading recently that re-gifting is growing in popularity. So I don't know if you know what re-gifting is. It's actually a term that was coined by, of all people, Jerry Seinfeld about a decade ago. But it's grown to the point where now Webster's actually has a definition for what it is to re-gift. So the definition is this. It's a verb, right? It means to give an unwanted gift to someone else. That doesn't sound real good. The second one I like better, right? To give as a gift something one previously received as a gift. So in other words, you get something and either you don't want it or you don't need it, so you wrap it up and you give it to somebody else as a gift from you to them. You're re-gifting. Now, it's grown in so much in popularity. There's actually websites that are dedicated to the do's and the don'ts of re-gifting, right? So there must have been some faux pas out there in the re-gifting world, right? Right? So now, I've been thinking about you, and we're getting close, right, to Christmas time, so maybe, you know, you're looking for ideas for someone, perhaps you want to do a little bit of re-gifting. Now, if you're going to do a re-gifting, though, here's some helpful hints. This is from an actual website, by the way. There's some questions you should ask yourself, right? So, is the gift re-giftable? So never re-gift handmade or one-of-a-kind items. All right, that makes sense. Signed books and monogrammed items are off-limits. I wondered, what if they had your same initials? No, off-limits, all limits. All right, second question, how's the condition? Only new, unopened gifts in good condition should be considered for re-gifting. Never give partially used gift cards. I can't make this up. Evidently, somebody must have. I know it says 25. There's only $4.72. So. I don't know. All right. Next one. Is this going to work? Successful regifters use common sense. If you're going to regift, be sure you know who gave you the item so you don't return something to the original giver. Now, that would be an awkward moment. All right, then how does it look? When it comes to gift giving, go for show. While gift bags in good condition can be reused, wrapping paper is a one-time event. An additional note, always spring for a new card. I wouldn't think it would need to be said, but evidently somebody scratched out their name and wrote in the other person's name and gave it to them. So anyways, re-gifting, I don't know if it's something that you want to do or not. I'm kind of not completely sold on it, except for the fact there's one time of year that I'm absolutely sold out on re-gifting. Christmas. Christmas is the perfect opportunity to re-gift. Of course, it has to be the right gift. And the gift that I'm thinking about isn't a gift that comes with a price tag, but it's a gift that's priceless. I suggest that you re-gift forgiveness. Isn't that the gift that Jesus brings at Christmas time? The gift of forgiveness? Listen to what the prophet said one more time, Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. So the prophet writer is using some hyperbole here, and he says that God is so gracious that he gives you double the forgiveness for all of your sins. In other words, there's plenty of forgiveness to go around. There's plenty of forgiveness for us to re-gift to someone else. I suggest that you re-gift forgiveness at Christmas time because it's a needed gift. Forgiveness is necessary all the time in every relationship that you have, but I would suggest that this time of year particularly is a prime opportunity to re-gift forgiveness because it's so needed at this time of year. It's so needed because there's so many things that are happening that people are getting hurt in so many ways. Why? Because we're so busy. Take a look at your schedule, right? Your schedule is overflowing with things to do, right? Everybody sort of wants a piece of it, and I understand all of that. Everybody wants to get together this time of year, right? So whether it's your golf buddies, whether it's at work, whether it's the people you play cards with, your small group, right? Everybody wants to get there. The point is, you could have 2-3 nights in a row that are just jam-packed every night. You're out of the house every night. That's what we had this past week. We had three nights in a row, just boom, 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 boom. We weren't home, right? Well, when do you do all the rest of the stuff that you're usually there, right? So there's not enough hours in the day. And what it creates is a lot of stress, because you want to be there. You want to go to these events, but that means somehow you've got to fit everything else in. And then, of course, add on Christmas gift giving and gift shopping and all of that. Then you put onto there all the requirements of work at this time of year. You got end of the year stuff going on. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, right? So relationships kind of get strained because the schedule is so full. Now, I have to tell you, there's one group of people that my heart really goes out to. It's detail people. Yeah, those of you who are detail-oriented, you're doomed this time of year. I mean, face it, you're doomed, right? Because you're the kind of person, the tree has to look just so. Every string of light has to be perfectly placed. All the ornaments have to be arranged just in the right way. Each gift is wrapped in a certain way and placed underneath the tree at a certain angle, right? You're the folks, you have an Excel spreadsheet for your Christmas shopping, right? And you have it categorized, because in each category, you want to make sure that you spend the same amount of money for each person in that category, right? You are doomed this time of year. Right? There are too many details for you to try and keep up with. And so that just raises the stress bar just a little bit more. And the end result of all of this is people get hurt. We can kind of chuckle about it and laugh about it, but this is supposed to be the time of year filled with joy and happiness and peace on earth. And instead, we're stressed out, we're overtired, and we end up losing our temper. We say things that we don't mean to say. Right? We do things we don't really want to do. We forget to do other things that we promised that we would do. And at the end of the day, people get hurt. Their feelings are bruised. Most of it is unintentional. It's just part of the season. And that's kind of sad. But that's why forgiveness is so needed at this time of year. If all that wasn't enough, my observation is this. At Christmas time, old wounds resurface. I don't know why that is. Old wounds seem to resurface. So that friend who betrayed you years ago, or the one that you had a falling out with and you haven't spoken to them in a decade, why do you remember them at Christmas time? Why does their name pop into your head? It's just a weird phenomenon to me. These old wounds, they sort of resurface, right? It's the family member that you dread, and you hope and you pray that they don't come to the family gathering. Either you had harsh words with them, or their personality just grates on you and irritates you. Whatever it is, all you know is if they're there, you're going to spend the entire time that you're gathered with family and friends ducking and dodging, trying to make sure you're not in the same room with them, and that's really not a whole lot of fun at all. That's what I'm saying. This time of year, we need forgiveness all the time, but this time of year, just with the pressure and all the activities, forgiveness is needed. And I think we have to be honest about it. First of all, we need to be forgiven for some of the things that we've done. And then we need to learn how to forgive others, because there's no other way that the relationships will be brought back together. So I'm all about regifting at Christmas. But we're going to re-gift forgiveness. Now, if you're going to re-gift something, you have to receive it first. You can't give away what you don't have. If you haven't received the gift of forgiveness, then there's no way that you can re-gift it to someone else. So let's take a few moments and talk about this idea of forgiveness and how we receive the gift. We receive the gift, first of all, we've got to get prepared to receive it, right? So if you look at the Old Testament prophets, they were preparing the way for the gift of Christmas, the gift of Jesus, and the gift of forgiveness to arrive. So we've got like Isaiah telling us that there's going to come a time when there's actually going to be a person who's going to prepare the way for God's gift. Well, now we know that John the Baptist, he was the one that would prepare the people's hearts for the gift of Jesus and his ministry. That's why at his birth, his father Zechariah composes a song. But listen to what he says about his son. He says, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet from the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. So John the Baptist would prepare the people to receive the gift of Jesus, which is the gift of forgiveness. How did John the Baptist do that? He called the people to repentance. They had to know that they needed the gift of forgiveness. They had to know that they had done wrong and that their relationship with God was broken. For you and I, if we're going to re-gift forgiveness, we can't re-gift what you haven't received. You can't re-gift the gift unless you've received the gift, which means God is calling you to repentance. That's what this season of Advent is all about. It's preparing us to celebrate the birth of Jesus. What I'm saying is, how many people's feelings have you hurt? How many times have you had the short fuse? How many times have you spoken words over the last few weeks that you regret? How many things have you forgotten to do for others that you promised that you would do for them? Are you the reason the relationship with that friend from a decade ago is broken? Are you the person at family gatherings everyone's trying to avoid? So we got to come to a realization that we desperately need the gift, that we're lost without the gift. And then you know the joy of Christmas. Then your hearts are ready to receive the gift of Jesus and what he brings. Remember, Jesus says, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world, to be in judgment of the world. He said, I came to save the world. He came to forgive the world. He came to restore our relationship with our Father in heaven. So receive the gift of forgiveness. Let's talk about forgiveness for just a few moments. What is forgiveness and what isn't forgiveness? Well, I'll tell you this much. Forgiveness is not three things, and it's important to note these. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Right? Forgiveness doesn't ride the wave of emotions. Oh, I feel like forgiving the person. I don't feel like forgiving the person. Oh, I'm angry at the person. Oh, I guess I'm okay with the person. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a choice and it's a decision. It's a choice and it's a decision that God made. He made it at the beginning of time. Two perfect people. They sinned against God. They broke the covenant with God. God had a choice at that time. God could have simply wiped it all out and started over again fresh someplace else. Instead, he gave a promise. Instead, he chose to forgive. Forgiveness isn't a feeling. It's a choice. It's a decision. Forgiveness is not forgetting. When you forgive somebody, that doesn't mean you just kind of forget about it or try and forget about it. How does that work for you, by the way? It doesn't, right? Neither does it work that way for God. Listen to what he said through the prophet Isaiah. God is speaking here. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Understand, when he says that, it isn't that he can't remember your sins. He chooses not to remember your sins. It's not like God is absent-minded and can't remember the things that you've done. He's an all-knowing God. He has perfect knowledge. Instead, he says, I choose not to remember your sins anymore. So forgiveness is not forgetting. And forgiveness is not excusing, as if to say, well, it's just not that important, or that's all right, don't worry about it, or it's okay, we'll just move on from here and have a fresh start. It's much more serious than that. That's why God calls us to repentance. He calls us to repentance so that we know the seriousness of the matter, so that we can also know the joy of the forgiveness that he has for us. So when we forgive somebody, we're not excusing their behavior. We're not saying, it doesn't matter. No, it matters a great deal. So much so that it requires forgiveness for that other person. So much for what forgiveness is not. What is forgiveness? There are two main words in the New Testament that we translate with the word forgive, and they each have their own nuance to them. The first word means this: forgiveness is to release from a debt, right? So you owe a debt, and you are released from that debt. Your debt is forgiven from you. The debt doesn't go away, though. Somebody's got to absorb the cost, right? So let's say, Jerry, here I come up to you and I say, hey, can I have $100? I'll pay you back, right? Jerry says, oh, sure, Ron, here's $100. 2 months later, he comes up to me and says, you got that $100 you owe me? I don't have it. 3 months later, you got that $100 you owe me? Finally, I just fess up to him and I say to him, listen, Jerry, I can't pay you back. There's no way that I can pay you back. And he says to me, Ron, I forgive you. I forgive the debt. You don't owe me that money anymore. He's still out the $100. He absorbed the cost. When God forgives us, he absorbs the cost himself. Scripture says that the wages of sin is death. That's why Jesus came into our world to live among us, only so that he could die for us. God himself would absorb the cost of our debt, the debt of our sin. Forgiveness is costly. The second definition of forgiveness is bestowed freely and unconditionally. No strings attached, no caveats to it. It means it's unmerited and it is unearned. It is simply freely given. So God, with no caveats, no strings attached, no expectations, freely absorbs the debt of our sin, cancels the debt, and forgives us and chooses not to remember our sins anymore. That's the gift of Christmas. That's the gift of Jesus that he brings with him. That's what we have received from God. And now that you've received the gift, you can re-gift. Re-gift forgiveness to those around you. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 4. Paul finishes up his letter to the church at Ephesus with these words, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Just as in Christ God forgave you, so you should forgive others. So that's my challenge for you this week. Who do you need to forgive? Who is it that hurt you? Is it recently? Is it from years ago? Who do you need to forgive? I'm not asking you to excuse their behavior, nor am I asking you to just forget about their behavior, just write it off. It's more serious than that. What I'm saying is, are you willing to pick up the phone and call the person and say, you know what, this has been a barrier between us for years, and this will be an uncomfortable conversation, but I want to have it because I value our friendship, because I value our family, and I want to put this back together. My guess is there'll be repentance on the other end. Some people hurt you and they don't even know that they hurt you. And once you bring it to their attention, my guess is there'll be an apology there. And then forgiveness can be granted, right? Forgiveness can be given to them. And you say to them, debt paid in full. I'll remember this no more. Now, how's that going to work? You're going to see that person and you're still going to remember what they said or what they did. But this is what it means to forgive. It means that when that comes into your mind, you say, no, I'm going to choose to think about something else. We have put this behind us. I will not let it interfere with our relationship anymore. I will choose not to remember that incident. Who do you need to forgive? See, the payoff is this, is that friendships all of a sudden become reformed. That family relationships all of a sudden become united. And the gathering together with friends and family all of a sudden has a new spirit about it. That sounds like a Christmas I'd like to celebrate. How about you? It all comes down to the gifts, you know, but not the gifts that have a price tag, but the gifts that are priceless. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, how can we thank you enough for the gift of your Son and the forgiveness that he has brought to us? We don't deserve it. We haven't earned it. completely unmerited, and yet you freely give it to us. And not only that, but we know that the forgiveness was costly, for it cost the very life of your Son so that our debt of sin could be canceled. We thank and praise you for that great gift, and we pray that during this season of Advent that our hearts would get prepared, that we would come to you with repentant hearts and receive that gift of forgiveness. And then through the power of your Holy Spirit, give us the courage and give us the words to re-gift, to give someone else the gift of forgiveness. Compassionate Lord, we come before you today and those that are hurting, those that are in need, suffering physically, ready for surgery, recovering from surgery. We ask that your healing hand would be upon Don and Paul, baby Lillian, Marjorie, Sandy, Dan, Brandon, Dick, and Lynn. Also those that we lift up before you now. Father in heaven, you know the needs of all your people, and we ask that you would grant them healing and wholeness in their lives. Jesus Christ, you are the precious Savior of the world, and your church is your body here on earth. We ask that you continue to bless Christian congregations around the world as they share your saving gospel. We ask that you'd be with us this afternoon, particularly during our two concerts. May we be a welcoming and warm people as we have the community come to us. Bless the efforts of the singers and the musicians as they present the good news of Christmas. And we pray by the power of your Spirit that hearts would be penetrated and that lives would be changed. Lord, we know this time of year can be sad, lonely, and depressing for many. We ask that you would give the true joy and happiness to those who are suffering from that. Reassure them of your everlasting presence. Pour out your comforting spirit to the depressed. Give guidance and direction to discernment to those who are seeking to do your will. Grant meaningful employment to the un- and underemployed. Keep safe all those who will be traveling. Father, we ask that you would reach out to all of those who are mourning the loss of a loved one, that you would give them the gift of your Spirit, and that you would dry their eyes, that you would give them the hope of Christmas, which is the hope of forgiveness and life everlasting with you. And Father, we ask that you would dispatch your holy angels to watch over all of the military and the armed forces that are surrounding us in this world, that you would grant them security and that you would give peace to this world. All this we pray. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we have the privilege of responding back to our God and the great gifts and love that he's given to us with our tithes and our offerings.